St. John. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother Lazarus, who had died. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask the Lord, he will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And no one who lives and believes in me will ever die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
July is the great month of reparation. We begin with the Feast of St. Thomas. We close with the Feast of St. Martha, the two most maligned saints in the Bible. Thomas, who has the adjective doubting, as if he wasn't a martyr at the very end. But yet that predicate lasts. And Martha is the one who has been depicted as the woman with her priorities messed up, because she was gently upbraided by the Lord for not getting what her sister Mary got, that Jesus had come to their house in Bethany first to feed, not to be fed, to serve rather than to be served. And Mary allowed herself to be fed while Martha wanted to feed. But she's one of the great saints who teaches us precisely how to minister to the Lord and how to welcome the Lord. So today is an opportunity for us to delve into her virtues so that we might model our life on what she did get right, and also learn from what was slightly off that Jesus needed to help perfect. Four things with St. Martha I always ponder. The first is her welcoming. It says in St. Luke and St. John that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Not Martha, Mary, and Lazarus welcomed Jesus into their home, but Martha was the one who was principally doing the welcoming. The beginning of this Mass, when we prayed the collect, we turned to God the Father and said about St. Martha that she was the one who welcomed Jesus. In the Vatican, the home where now the Pope has been welcomed, but the guests who come to the Vatican for conferences and everything else, not to mention the cardinals during a conclave, it's called the Domus Sancti Marte, because it is there that the welcome of the Church continues. With Saint Benedict, she is the patroness of church hospitality. And this is so important for us to see today, because the church has to be considered a place of welcome. There are so many who are distant from the church who think it's a place of rejection, think it's a place of coldness, who don't really look at it as a home. The entire church needs to be a Domus Sancti Marte. This convent needs to be a Domus Sancti Marte. Every parish needs to be a Domus Sancti Marte. Even our heart needs to be a Domus Sancti Marte. St. Jose Maria used to describe the joy that he would have whenever there was a new chapel where he was able to place the Lord. And he called each of the chapels and the places of the work throughout the world Bethanies, where Jesus himself could be welcomed. But he wanted us to live up to identity as well as temples of God, as Bethanies ourselves, to be able routinely to welcome the Lord in. Now this sounds good, that when strangers come, we welcome them the way that we would welcome Christ. But so often it's more difficult to do it for those with whom we routinely have contact. Marriages start to break down when they lose the enthusiasm to welcome each other into their life. When we see the people with whom we one of the beautiful things that I see here is every time you're away and I open that door downstairs and I see on the staircase just who's returning later that day, I get excited as if they'd be present at Mass. Normally it's later when they come on back, but nevertheless, a beautiful sign on the outside that when one of you comes home, you're going to be welcomed as if it were the first time, as if you were receiving somebody new. But that welcome has to extend throughout so that people feel embraced, rather than here's the complaint in the church as a whole, judged or rejected. Sometimes we can take for granted that others believe that they're welcomed because we've welcomed them before, and they can't they remember that time when I did this for them. Sometimes they just don't think about it. Sometimes we too think about just this latest encounter. And so the virtue of hospitality that we learned from St. Martha is something that we must focus on every day if we're going to be responding to what the Lord wishes for us. St. John Paul II, as I mentioned once before, when he would do his morning offering, he would pray for all those whom he would meet that day, and pray for two things. First, that he would welcome them as a gift given directly by Christ. And then second, that he would treat the other person as if the Lord was given himself to that person through his vicar. He knew that this might be one of the most important moments in this person's life, and he wanted to be fully present. Again, it's a little bit easier when we're doing it for pure strangers, because Jesus says, when I was a stranger, you welcomed me. But where the real work happens is when we wake up and we pray our morning offering and we start to say, Lord, please help me to receive the one I see every day with the same love with which I would want to receive you if I was in contact with you every day. In the same way that we're tempted to take the Lord for granted, we can take each other for granted. And so welcoming is the first beautiful thing we learn from St. Martha. The second is welcoming is not just a wish or a first impression. Welcoming goes beyond it. So she likewise is a model of loving service. In St. John's Gospel, the beginning of chapter 12, when she had received Jesus right around Palm Sunday, it said, Martha welcomed Jesus into his home and ministered to him. Not just served him, but ministered to him. There was a particular type of Christological service happening here, where she was carrying out the work of God in loving Jesus. Similarly for us, that welcome extends to the loving service that we give to others. Now we see that pretty clearly most times. It's hard to do, it's easy to conceptualize. But sometimes the greatest service that we need to give, as Jesus shows us in Bethany, is to allow somebody else to serve us. When Jesus was in that home, he could have said, Martha, I'm not hungry. I just want to talk with the two of you. Just come with Mary and sit at my feet. But he himself knew that the way that Martha was going to show her love was precisely through that work in the kitchen. So he permitted it to be done. He wanted to purify her intention. He wanted to help her to unite it with him. But how important it was for Jesus' welcoming of Martha that he would allow her to love him in this way. Lyndon Johnson said, cynically, but if you wanted to have someone take you seriously, don't do something for him, let him do something for you. Because then he would be invested in you. He would have made a gift of himself, we could say, with theological terminology. And once he's given, he wants to see the gift grow. At a basic level, it requires great hospitality to allow someone else to serve us, especially when we're tempted to always want to be the creditor in every relationship rather than the recipient. I've learned that lesson many times in my own life. One was one of the two lessons I learned from the first pastor with whom I served, where this woman wanted to give me money after Mass for a Mass that I had celebrated. And I said, no, 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 ma'am, thanks very much, it was an honor. Oh, no, no, Señor Padre, por favor, yo quiero dar un mishmola. I said, ma'am, if you'd like to give, I have everything that I need. We've got a poor box outside, why don't you just give it directly to the poor? She said, okay, Señor Padre, and she left. And the pastor said, Raj, do you have any idea how much it just hurt that woman? I said, what? He said, she wanted to give something to God through you, and you said no. I didn't realize how much I had hurt the woman at the time. But he was right, that sometimes just to allow others to serve us is an extraordinary way by which we welcome them who desire to give to us in God's name. The third point we can learn from St. Martha is her faith. It's an extraordinary scene that we heard in today's Gospel. She had sent word to Jesus that her brother was about to die, and Jesus waited to come until the fourth day. We see how he hustled in order to get to Jairus' house when his daughter was dying. Jesus paused, and the disciples were asking why he tarried. It didn't make sense compared to everything. He arrived on the fourth day. As I've mentioned, Jews believe that, curiously, through the prophet Amos, that people could rise from the dead up until the third day. But when the fourth day hit, it was over. And Jesus waited until the fourth day. Martha would have heard of Jesus' raising the only son of the widow of Nain from the dead, as well as the little girl, daughter of Jairus. But that was soon after they had died. This was something totally different. This was when somebody was really dead and there would be a stench. So she just went out to Jesus. She could have, in a self-pity violin-playing fest, waited for him to come and say, sorry I took so long. But no, she went out to see him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then she asked for something literally incredible. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give you. Even if it were the fourth day, what an extraordinary faith she had. That he could do anything. Your brother will rise. Jesus was saying that in a twofold sense. She got the second, because doubtless she and Martha and Lazarus had talked to Jesus in their home about what would happen after we died. That whole dispute between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which was ongoing, whether there was a resurrection and what it would be. I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus wanted to teach her that the resurrection is not so much a fact as a relationship. I am the resurrection of life. Whoever lives and believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And no one who lives and believes in me will ever die. And then that question, which is an extraordinary claim, by the way, because cemeteries are full of people who, to our visible senses, have died. Do you believe this? Jesus asked her. I want you to take a sidestep for a second. What did St. Peter say to Jesus in Caesarea Philippi? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And then who do you say that I am? Finally, Peter, not by flesh and blood, but by the revelation of the Father, stood up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of living God. When Jesus asks Martha, "Do you believe this?" she replies, "I've come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world, always in the present." She was making her own, almost Petrine, Christological confession. She herself had been moved by the Father to see it. Maybe she had been told of what had happened in Caesarea Philippi before. But what an extraordinary thing. In other words, "Jesus, even though my brother's 4 days in the tomb, I believe in you. Because I believe in you, I believe in anything you'll say. So if you say my brother will rise, he will rise." And then we know how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. For us to model ourselves on Martha's extraordinary faith, that even when everything seems over, it ain't over. There's no fat lady singing anywhere. Jesus can still do it. So therefore, we should always have hope. Always have hope. Fourth and lastly, Martha never tried to keep Jesus to herself. She always wanted to bring others to Jesus. In the scene, it's cut off at the end. As soon as this happens, he sends word to go get Mary to bring her to be with Jesus. And the word that she said, the expression, has been put on altars all across the world. Magister adest et vocate. One of my favorite expressions. The Lord is here, the Master is here, and he's calling you. He wants to see you. And out came Mary with the exact same words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And Jesus wept. Jesus is constantly calling us. And he wants us to be his instruments to call others, and Martha was that instrument. So that Jesus might have the chance to welcome others, and they might correspondingly have the chance to welcome him. He calls us from the altar, he calls us in his word, he calls us in the confessional, he calls us in the poor, he calls us from the womb. But Jesus is constantly present, summoning us. And we're called to learn from Martha how to bring that invitation. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, we wish to welcome Jesus within with the same love with which she welcomed him to Bethany. We ask for his strength so that we might serve him today, beginning concretely with the way we serve others and therefore welcome them more deeply into our life. We ask for an increase in faith, so that we might recognize the Messiah, the Son, the living God, the one who is constantly coming into the world, is constantly coming into our world to help us, to strengthen us, to lift us up, to make it possible to do that all that he asks. That we recognize that he sends us forth with his blessing to say to the whole world, the Master is still alive and he's calling you. At the end of today's first reading, there was a beautiful expression. As much as I love Thanksgiving, and so I love saying Deo Gratias to the Word of God, if I were in charge, I would change it from Deo Gratias to these words after the covenant was proclaimed. All that the Lord has said, we will do. That's got to be our response to the Word of God. The covenant was proclaimed by Moses. And then our response is, all that the Lord has said, with faith, we will do. As we prepare not to receive the blood of oxen and bulls, but the precious blood of our Lord Jesus together with his body, soul, and divinity. As we do this in memory of him at his command, we ask him to make our whole life be the response to his presence and call. All that the Lord has said, I will do. Praise be Jesus Christ.